No progress on U.S.-China talks, and this morning the president's former economic advisor says the spat is only hurting Americans. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Formal U.S.-China trade talks are set to resume in September after they made no progress this week. Meanwhile, President Trump's former economic advisor, Gary Cohn, told the BBC he doesn't think the long-running trade dispute is hurting China's economy.
I think the Chinese economy is driven by credit and credit availability. Credit and credit availability is determined by the central government. And they can turn credit on and they can turn credit off. I think the trade war with the United States was a very convenient excuse for the Chinese to slow down their economy when they needed to slow down an overheated economy where prices and real estate prices and everything were getting out of hand. And I think President Trump provided that excuse.
By contrast, Mr. Cohn says it is weighing on sectors of the U.S. economy with significant exposure to international trade.
In the farming community, it's having a dramatic impact. In the capital investment part of the U.S. economy, it's having a dramatic impact. In the service side of the economy, it's not having nearly as big as an impact because tariffs don't affect it. And that's what you're saying. We put in enormous amount of stimulative mechanisms in the tax plan. But when you build property, plant, and equipment, what are you doing? You're buying steel, you're buying aluminum, you're buying imported products, and then we put a tariff on those. So literally the tax incentive that we gave you with one hand was taken away with the other hand. So we have not seen the manufacturing job creation that we should have seen in the United States.
Gary Cohn there. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are lower after investors were disappointed the Federal Reserve did not signal it is on a lengthy rate-cutting path. And shares of Siemens, Europe's biggest conglomerate, are down nearly 5%. The company posted a large drop in quarterly profit and blamed geopolitics and a weaker global economy. Now, many central banks, including the Federal Reserve, are focused on cutting rates. But at the Bank of England, all options for interest rate policy are on the table. Yale Selfin chief UK economist at KPMG explains the factors the Bank of England is weighing up ahead of its rate decision today.
The reason why the Bank of England is concerned about inflation is because not only the labor market is very tight, we have unemployment at a very low level, and earnings and wages are starting to pick up. The Bank of England is also concerned at the moment at what may happen as a result of Brexit. So at the moment, the Bank of England is keeping its options open. I think the right response is not necessarily to raise interest rates in order to manage demand, to get people to and companies to spend less. The right response would be to ease interest rates and encourage investment and therefore improve supply.
But won't lower rates stoke inflation?
The thing is that in the short term, if we are going to have especially a no-deal Brexit, we are likely to see exchange rate falling further, and that inevitably will raise inflation through more expensive input prices. But what the Bank of England would want to distinguish is between external pressures on inflation and domestic pressures on inflation. If we are going to have a weaker economy generally and weaker confidence and need to restore our productive capacity, on balance, it makes more sense to keep rates low and support the economy at that transition.
You know, there is this general global worry that all this super cheap money is what led us to the last financial crisis. Is there not still a worry about that?
It is probably inevitable that somewhere there are some bubbles. They're not where they used to be previously. We also know that very low rates are harmful for banks, for example, pension funds, and savers more generally. So overall, they do have a cost.
Yale Selfin. Now, the mighty British Library, known for its priceless collections of manuscripts and historical documents, also gives free advice to startups and small businesses. The BBC's Elizabeth Hodson reports.
I'm in the Sir John Ripblack Gallery of the British Library. There's Jane Austen's writing desk, letters penned by Mahatma Gandhi, and dozens of priceless and extremely old religious texts. But away from the glass cabinets and hushed voices, there's a very modern side to the library.
We have the most fantastic collection of intellectual property.
Isabel Oswell is the Head of Business and Creative Industries at the Library's Business and Intellectual Property Centre.
We have all the patents, trademarks and designs ever registered in this country, plus global ones as well. In fact, we have over 60 million patents here. We united that with our market research and market intelligence collections so that we could help people from that first, I've got a spark of inspiration or a brilliant idea, can I protect it and launch a company?
10 London boroughs and a further 13 centres across the UK are now using the British Library's resources to give advice to startups. Most of the workshops are free, but are they actually any good?
I'm Anthony Lau. My company's called Cycle Hoop, and we design and manufacture bike shelters and bike racks. And I'm chanced upon the British Library, where there's business advisors, there's workshops that can help you with how to write a business plan. I mean, I think it's actually better than what you would pay for. They've got really great, inspiring business leaders that come here.
As Isabel mentioned before, if you do have an idea, you'll need to check if there's already a patent on it. All these big ideas gave me some inspiration, and I wondered if my secret dreams of inventing a talking board with mystical powers would ever be realised. Isabel kindly looked through the patents for me.
The Ouija board. That is a patent that was applied for back in 1891. It relates to improvements in and relating to toys or games.
Well, apparently I'm a century too late for the Ouija board. Never mind, I'll just have to come up with something else. In London, I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
Now, finally, most retired bankers sail yachts, but a German banker who's calling himself Money Manny wants to be a YouTube star with his simple economic explainers. He's had a couple of thousand views already. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.